very polite, said, no thanks, I don't need that. And one lady said, I'm super sure that I don't want that. But she smiled. And we said, you know, okay, that's fine. She said, if that's what you guys like, that's great, but it's not for me. And we said, well, God bless, Merry Christmas, hope you have a great day. And they were on their way to see Santa down there, so we wished them and their kids a great day and a good visit with Santa. But it went very well. It's the first time I think that we've done this as a group. I want to thank Paula and Virginia for educating us on how to do this, walking us through it. And we had several prayers when we met here Saturday night or Friday night, and then when we went out Saturday, because it's something that I've not done before, and I was nervous. And I know some of the other people were a little unsure about it too, because it's not something you normally do. And when you think about it, why are we nervous to do that? God is with us all the time in everything we do. Why can we talk about sports, the weather, and news and politics, but we can't talk about our God? Hopefully this was kicking off round one for us. And again, it went well, and I want to thank everybody, excuse me, who was out there. And then just real quickly, I'm going to sneak in another announcement. Bob Fries was here, local locksmith, and we have changed all the locks in the building. So all of the outside doors are now under one key, and all the doors that can be locked inside are under one key. And then there's one separate key for the pastor's office. So if you have old keys, you can throw them away. They're no good anymore. The elders have a policy, key policy, which we never had before, but we have one now. So the keys are numbered, and I've been assigning them to the people that are officers or that have had need to get in here. So we're going to tighten up the control on who gets keys. But if you feel you need one for some reason, talk to the elders. If they give you the okay, I'll give you a key. But again, the old keys don't work anymore. So if you have them, either give them to me or throw them away. And there's still a few people I haven't given them to yet, so I'll try and catch you afterwards. But again, thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, Miles. Just the quick announcements. Ongoing stuff. WCF meetings we've had for a rental agreement. It's the holidays. We're taking some time off. So the announcements is nothing's happening with that. Today's the last day to bring in for your Serve 6.8 Christmas tree giving. There's a pile of stuff out there in the corner, which is great. Thanks for all your support. And if you got something that got left at home on the counter, talk to Shana, and we'll get it over for them. Next Sunday, fifth Sunday of the month, we're having a time of sharing and praise. So if you would like to share your testimony, please let me know. Got somebody signed up, and we have room to hear how God has used you in your life recently, in the past. Just never get tired of sharing. And we have a pianist coming that is familiar with hymns. So if you have a favorite hymn, be thinking about it and give us a story on why you like that hymn. And we'll sing your favorite hymn. New Year's Eve game night, starting at 7, bring your game and a snack to share. And women's Bible study starting next month. So there's a sign up in the back. Talk to Deb Birch with questions about that. This coming New Year's Eve, we have a service at 6:30. Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve. Christmas Eve. 6:30. Some of us eat before Christmas, and some of us eat after. So 6:30 is kind of the compromise between 7 and 6. So anyway, so come join us for hymns and the Christmas story and a candlelight service for this coming Tuesday. Somebody didn't get Brian, who's done such a great job with bulletins, the news that somebody, Master's Hand, is school is off for the next couple weeks, and we decided not to have prayer and praise this coming week because we'll be with family. So there will be no activities in the building other than the Christmas Eve service this coming week. So got the business part done here. Let's open and start our worship service with our tithes and our offerings. So we have, okay, and John Peterson is not with us this morning. He went to the ER this morning with his chest pains, but is back home. So we'll pray for him during our prayer and praise time. So we'll pray and then collect our offering. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you in song, in praise, hearing from about the Christmas story, and thank you for Dale coming to help be with us, to challenge us. But as we give our this money, may we use it to further your gospel, further your kingdom, as we, as a church, support missionaries abroad and in the area. Lord, we just ask you bless this and our activities this morning as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, and very Merry Christmas to you. We're going to start with our Advent candle. And Tanner, you're going to, maybe you're lighting the one in the middle. Okay, thank you. I just work here. I don't know. Okay, the fourth Sunday candle is called the Angel Candle, and it's also called the Candle of Love. In Luke 1, 26 to 28 and 30 to 31, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel came to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. The angel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid, Mary." The angel told her, "For you have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High." "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her again, "for you have found favor with God. And he will be the Most High, and God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom shall never have an end."
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the light and life, behold, he brings touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, and hands, O gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets put of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold.
In a land far away, time stood still long ago. There were shepherds in fields, angels came. This is how the story goes. The story goes. Woman with child, hand and inn with no room. Born in a stable, foretelling a tomb. This is how the story goes. But it's more than a story lives on. God's gift to us, wrapped in flesh, sent to earth his only son, his only son. And the heartbeat of heaven confounded all wisdom, and it's still sets us free. We believe the wise men saw the baby boy, the angels called the Son of God, heaven's child, the great I am, born to take. Yeah.
God's perfect time, he sent Jesus to earth as a precious baby, the infant king.
Often when we think of the birth of Jesus, we focus on Mary, the one God chose to carry his son. But might we wonder about Joseph's heart? He was to be the earthly father of God's son. What were Mary's thoughts about her son? What did she really know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God.
Mary, did you?
The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations?
Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great
I don't know about you guys, but I think those three can sing together again. Dear Lord, as we come before you, we are just in this season are amazed at your humility to come as a babe. And we just can't fathom that, but do have learned so much to appreciate it. And as we celebrate this season, it once again makes us grateful and amazed. We just want to thank you for your love, for you are love, and just the way you have shown it to us. We just bring Brother John before you and just the discomfort he's in. And Lord, it's our desire that this heart settle down and get back into a rhythm. Give the doctors the wisdom they need to assist as they can to get this to settle down. Be with Joanne and as she cares for him and her back and the pain she's in and just others. During this season, we know there are some that are grieving loss, and may we be a comfort to them and come alongside. But once again, we just want to thank you for this blessing that you have brought to us, this plan of salvation. And as we study your word, as Dale comes to share, we just thank you so much for his willingness to come and do this and to be here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, introduce Pastor Dale. He's been with us once before, last summer, but just been looking forward to hearing from you.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning.
Morning.
It's a privilege to be here with you again. My wife and I live in South Fort Collins. We pastored the Evangelical Free Church in Crook, Colorado, which is, if you don't know where Crook's at, if you ever head out I-76, you'll see one little exit, and if you breathe, you miss the town. A little town of about 100 people that the church merged in the 60s between a Presbyterian and a congregational church and became an Evangelical Free Church through time, and just a phenomenal group of people. We ministered there for 13 years, And then the Lord called us to the Front Range to begin a missionary to the marketplace, to partnering with business owners and business leaders to encourage and help and connect with their people. And it's been a different journey stepping out of full-time professional ministry into this place of missions work, but it's been an encouraging piece for us as well. And even though it's been challenging, it's been fruitful already as well. So, and actually, if you ever buy a car, so if you ever drive down to Greeley and buy a car at Weld County Garage, I actually serve as chaplain there. That's one of my one of the places where I get a chance to partner with business owners. So you might see me there once in a while as well. I might be wearing my hat though and official shirt, but other than that, you'd see me in a different context. But before we begin this morning, will you just pray with me? Father, I need you. I believe in the Holy Spirit, that you work in the hearts of people through the power of your word, giving us exactly what you want for us. And I pray that today you will help us understand and lean into what it looks like for your life to be born in us. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We sing that often as a hymn on a regular basis. It's actually the third verse, I think, of O Little Town of Bethlehem. But what does it mean for Christ to be born in us? That's what we're going to take a look at today. Isaiah said in Isaiah 43, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Ezekiel expands in that thought a little bit in chapter 36 when he says, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put inside you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my steps." Born in us today. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, O you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And she was troubled at these words. See, the fact that God was with someone was and favored, and that somebody would be favored by God was going to be a brand new concept. "See, I'm doing a new thing. Don't you perceive it? Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Again, in case you didn't catch it, I'll say it again, Gabriel said. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was barren." Nothing is impossible with God. Mary said, "Behold, I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said." And the angel departed from her. Be born in us today. Galatians 4:19, Paul says, "My children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you." See, Christianity is not about a pull-yourself-together religion or a just-do-it religious system or I guess there's a reason for everything philosophy or I hope it all works out kind of life. Christianity is a remarkable, breathtaking, life-altering reality of Jesus Christ himself now residing in his people. Could have been an amen there. See, he resides in our very being. He permeates our living and our breathing and in our exchanges, our very life. It's his life being carried out in us. How amazing is it that the Christ being formed in Mary and him coming the first time, his incarnation, now mirrors the incarnation that takes place in us when he comes into us. See, the incarnation continues. Colossians 1:26, Paul says, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, that was the mystery that was blowing Old Testament people away when they got glimpses of it here and there. And it was a mystery because Paul had said it had been hidden before. Not just that God would give dictates from on high and words that we had to follow. Important. If that's all he would have done, that would have been enough. But he said, now I'm going to send this in skin and bones so that you know what it looks like. And then Jesus said, even that's not enough. Because I've got to go away so that you get and you get and you get and 2,000 years we get, still get him today. It's not like we have to journey to Jerusalem to see him in flesh. He lives inside of us. This is the mystery. Christ formed in us. God wanted to make known to the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we can present everybody fully formed in Christ. Paul's in labor pains till Christ is formed in us. We present everybody fully formed in Christ. Oh, Christ, be born in me today. Oh, Christ, be born in me today. Say it with me. Oh, Christ, be born in me today. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Romans 8:28 and 29, very familiar passage, but we forget the second half, the part that follows, you know, the part that we lean into all the time. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. His purpose is, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. His desire for us is to be formed like Christ. So when you read again, and you probably will, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, Luke chapter 1, as she responds rightly to the call of God on her life and visits Elizabeth, we don't know exactly when Christ literally began to be formed in her. It's interesting, we sometimes forget that we're 2,000 years removed from the story, so it ends up being kind of a, it almost ends up, and that's why I loved what he had to say, it almost ends up being like a little bit of a fairy tale. Could it possibly be? Well, the angel shows up, tells Mary this, and it says, she hurried to go see Elizabeth. So when did the Holy Spirit come upon her? We don't know. But we do know that when she showed up to Elizabeth, who was in seclusion for 6 months, nobody had seen this pregnant 90-year-old woman. Anybody else laugh at that? I mean, come on. Nobody else had seen this pregnant 90-plus-year-old woman. Mary shows up, and it says the babe leaped with joy as soon as she spoke the word. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. Be born in us today. See, the incarnation continues. This Christmas, we celebrate not just any old event, but an unfolding reality, the very image of Christ being formed in us, the very person of Christ being replicated in us to be lived out among people. Galatians 5:22 and following, Paul kind of unpacks that for us when he says, this is what, these are my words, this is what the image of Christ looks like in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step by the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Why? Because Christ is being formed in us. So what does it mean to have the life of Christ born in me? How would Jesus live my life if he were me? Well, sorry, Jen. If he were I. My wife's an English major, so that's the correct way to say it. If he were me just sounds more red, like it would roll off my tongue a little bit more. But how would Jesus live his life if he were I? See, the life of Jesus is formed in us when we respond like Mary did. So let's just look at a few of the responses this morning. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 1, and I read that already, but you're welcome to turn there with me. Luke 1, I'm going to look at verse 45 to begin with. So I've mentioned it already. She hears these words, and it says, in a short amount of time, Mary hurried to a town in the hill country. So she hears from the angel. She hustles over to Elizabeth, who has been in hiding for 6 months, because everybody would have been completely appalled by a 90-year-old woman pregnant. So she's, you know, just appalled with and not sure of and asking her so many questions. And honestly, she had enough wisdom. She didn't want to deal with all the questions. So she's hanging out, and Mary visits her. And as soon as Mary greets her, she's filled with the Holy Spirit. But notice what she says. This is something we haven't seen in the text yet. Mary's never said it, and it's really insightful for us to understand how Christ is formed in us. Look at verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Now remember, it's really important that you notice the timing here. The Magnificat has not been sung yet. What we call Mary's song has not been sung yet. She has simply just said, let it be to me according to your word. We don't know that she believed anything. You know, you and I have been drug along by God before, right? You know, it's like we've had situations come where it's like, okay, God, I'm going. Right? Arm behind, forced, here we go. But we find out a little hint from Elizabeth's words here that Mary didn't go that way. Mary started with the same way that you and I need to start if we want the life of Jesus formed in us. First of all, we trust. We believe that what God said, he will do. His promises are true for me, even in difficulty and hardship. It's really important to remember that they hadn't texted, they hadn't phone called, they hadn't even written a letter, nor had they probably even sent carrier pigeons yet. Nothing had been revealed to Elizabeth about what had happened to Mary. It's not like Elizabeth said, oh, hey, I know the angel showed up to you. She didn't know any of that. She just speaks this truth. reflecting the heart of Mary. Only God could know what Mary was thinking at that moment. And we now know what Mary was thinking, that she believed that God would follow through on his promise. She trusted him. We don't believe something by merely saying we believe it, or even when we believe it, that we believe it. We believe something when we act as if it were true. That's when belief really takes root in our heart. We don't believe, you know, we can believe that Christ can be forward with us. Oh yes, my goal is to be made in the image of Jesus. But what choices am I making today to allow that to happen? That's belief. That quote isn't original with me. It's by a person who just recently passed away, Dallas Willard. We don't believe something merely by saying we believe it, or even when we believe that we believe it. We believe something when we act as if it were true. So trust is this first response that allows the life of Christ to be formed in me. I trust you, Father, to do what's best. I trust your life and character to flow through me. I trust that what you say, you will do. And that leads us to the second response. Surrender. Interesting, right? That this is the international sign of surrender, right? Could it be that's why Paul said in 1 Timothy 3 that I want men everywhere to lift holy hands? Because he wants his people to be surrendered? We blame the charismatics a lot for this, but maybe they're onto something. Because when I'm raising my hand, I'm acknowledging the one who's in charge. Let it be to me according to your word. Was there a plan B for the Father? Probably not. But we don't know that to be true. We don't know. Did he have another virgin somewhere else that he had in case Mary said, "You know what? I ain't doing it." That sounds nuts. I'm already engaged to this guy, and I'm going to be an outcast because, as the King James says, they're going to call him a bastard, and I'm not being a part. I'm not doing it. Because they're going to exclude me and run me out of town. I'm not doing it. I think she had all of that in mind when she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Because she knew what 9 months of pregnancy without relations with a man was going to cost her. See, I wonder if sometimes we know what surrender to the God of the universe would cost us, and that's why we don't do it. Well, man, it might cost me some money, or it might cost me my reputation, or it might cost me, you know, some friends, or it might cost me some family. I wonder if we don't surrender because we know what it's going to cost us. Whatever you say, God, I will do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want, I will yield to. And again, from Willard, just because he says it so well, you can no more trust Jesus and not intend to obey him than you can trust your doctor or your auto mechanic and not intend to follow their advice. You know, the auto mechanic says, you know, your head gasket's about to blow. If you don't fix that, you're going to start getting radiator fluid into your oil and your engine's going to shut down. And it's like, you know what? Just tape over the stinking engine oil sign. I'm just going to tape over that thing, and I'm not going back to that mechanic because I don't like what that mechanic says. Let's find somewhere else I can go. Some other mechanic will give me something nice, some place that I can actually surrender to. And you wonder why your car doesn't make it around the corner, right? Or, man, you've got some high numbers on that bad cholesterol, dude. Well, you're not doing anything about it. Ah, make mine a triple cheeseburger, please. And forget the salad. Double order of fries. And make sure they're fried extra in the oil, because that's what I want. Right? We wouldn't do that. Well, maybe some of us would, but we wouldn't do that regularly. But why do we do that with the Father? If we don't intend to follow their advice, we simply don't trust them, period. If Jesus lays out for us a life of what it looks like to have him fully formed in us, and I don't trust and I'm not surrendered, could it be that's why the Church of Jesus Christ in America is weak and not listened to? Because we know what the equation is for the life of Christ to be formed in us, and we're not doing it. The third response Mary had, with this we close. The third response to how Mary showed us how the life of Jesus is to be formed in her is she had a response of relationship. I love this in 138 and 139. She ran to Elizabeth. It was like she was looking for some face-to-face confirmation of what this spiritual being had said to her. Now notice, man, this spiritual being shows up in the room, says, "You are highly favored." And it freaks her out, and rightly so. I mean, if a dude that was they're not really male or female. They're just things, all right? But they're immense, and a lot of times through Scripture, they refer to him as he, so we do too. But it's just this immense being, 8 foot, large and bright, shows up in her space, and no wonder she's freaked out. And it says, "Hey, you're highly favored. God is with you." And it's like, what? And he shows up, and he shows up, and he says it again. "You're highly favored." She doesn't spend the first few moments afterwards in prayer. It says she hurried to Elizabeth, because who was the only other person mentioned by Gabriel to her? And she knew she was a relative. And again, no texts, no phone calls, no anything. She didn't know Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. She knocks on the door. Elizabeth says, "Go away, I'm in seclusion. You know, Zechariah had some quiet. I want some quiet now too. Leave me alone." And Mary's going, "Hey, E, it's me, Mary. Let me in." And she hears the voice. The babe leaps for joy, and she opens the door. That's how I think. That's Dale's idea of how it went down. And as soon as she opens the door, Mary's like, "Oh my word, it's true." It's not just that the angel showed up and I said some words. It wasn't just a dream. It's true. See, there's times in our life where we need a relationship with a friend or a family member to deepen us in our trust of what God said. We need somebody to come alongside us and encourage us when we're just still not sure. And I think the words that Elizabeth spoke that are to follow, and we could spend some time unpacking those today too, the words that Elizabeth said to follow, you notice how much they mirror what Gabriel had to say? This relationship gave Mary confidence that what that being said from the mouth of God was true. On a regular basis, you Give confidence to people whose faith are wavering. When you show up with the life of Jesus flowing through you and standing in God's stead, as it were, because the life of Christ is flowing in you. Didn't Paul say that in 2 Corinthians 5? We're Christ ambassadors. It's so Christ we're making his appeal through you. I mean, we show up in relationship in these places. We're signifying to a doubting heart that trust in God and surrender to him is worth it. It's worth it. And when I do that, the life of Christ could actually be birthed in someone. Be formed in us today. How powerful is that? When I trust that what God said is true and surrender to his ways and then tie into relationship with others and with him. See, relationships with one another build deeper relationships with Christ and vice versa. My deeper relationship with Christ builds relationship with others that matter. People in our culture need to see the reality of be born in us today. Not just the truths written on a wall or spoken out loud or written on a piece of paper. They need to see the truth. Mary had to see the truth. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Father, you heard the prayers of these people. We want your life to be formed in us. Help us to trust what you say as true, to yield to then whatever you say, and then tie in with people, tie in with you, so that we find the strength necessary to move through. As Paul said in Colossians, we can only do this by striving with your strength that works so powerfully in us. So I pray that you would encourage us this Christmas season. Encourage us with this, that the incarnation continues. Began in Mary, and now your life through the power of your Spirit is formed inside of us. We trust you, we yield to you, and we look to build a deeper relationship with you so that others can discover the incredible hope, life, and joy that's found in a relationship with you. All to the glory of your great name, we pray. Amen. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angel, the great glad tidings.
Glad tidings tell.
Oh, come to us.
Oh, come to us. Abide with us. Our Lord Emmanuel.
Hey, receive this blessing today as we go. I bless you with love, joy, and peace this Christmas season. May he who began a good work in you bring it to completion. Continue that work in you until he comes again. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.